Good morning. Hope you guys are awake, alert, and hopefully you can see me this morning. If you would, let's open our Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 17 in the Old Testament. 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. We'll read from verse 1 to 7 for now. This is from the NASB. Now Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, surely there will be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word." The word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Go away from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. It shall be that you will drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to provide for you there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and lived by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he would drink from the brook. It happened after a while that the brook dried up, because there was no rain in the land. Let's pray this morning. Father, we just thank you for a new morning, where your mercies are new. We ask for your grace today. God, we pray for your strength. We thank you for the blessing of life that you give us. And God, we come here to honor you and worship you and give you our first fruits. Lord, we just ask for your blessing today. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Many of us assume that if we put our faith in Jesus Christ, that your life would go on an upward trajectory, meaning things would go better and better and better. And that the more faith you put in Jesus, the better things will work out. And so if things are not going well, then obviously your faith is not good enough. But the problem with that is that God never promised that in your circumstances of life that there would be always an upward trend. He never promised that as long as you have faith in him, that things will get better. To the contrary, if you look at the pages of Scripture, and we're going to look at Elijah's life this morning, and there's so much in this one chapter, chapter 17, of ups and downs. It works more like, instead of an upward trajectory life model, it works more of like a peaks and valleys model. And if you reflect at your own faith story, has it always been upward, or has it been always downward, or has it been the best of both, up and down, peaks and valleys? Has it been moments of great joy? Has it been moments of deep pain and frustration? Because this is where real life is lived. This is where faith is lived. We have the potential to forget about God when things are going poorly. But this is also the place of the greatest opportunity to know that that God is going to forge a faith in you far greater than your circumstances. And so here we are at 1 Kings chapter 17. And just to give you a little context, Elijah lived after the time of Moses and after the great exodus from Egypt. And it was after the time of David and the first great kings. But now Israel is a nation divided. And there's two tribes in the south, and 10 tribes in the south and 2 tribes in the northern kingdom. And so for a long time, the people of Israel wanted a king to rule them. And after many, many years, finally God relented and gave them kings. And then after about 150 years, all of this has fallen apart. And so the kingdom split into two, and then evil king ruled after evil king, and before long, the people of God had abandoned God. And now they have worshipped false gods and idols, and this was just a continuing trend. And so the better the circumstances were, the sooner they forgot about God, and this is the context in which God sends Elijah. And so now, here we are in verse 1, and Elijah basically comes out of nowhere, right? You read 1 Kings, and then bam, Elijah shows up. And we don't know anything about him at this point, but we'll definitely get to know him in the following chapters. But we do know that he's a prophet of God, and so what a prophet of God does in this time was that he spoke against the lost and corrupt kings and the fallen people of God. And the interesting thing about Elijah is his name. And when we were picking names for our child, we wanted a good, strong name. And if you look at Elijah's name, it's Elohim Yahweh. In other words, Yahweh is my God. Elijah, Elohim Yahweh is my God. And so this is going to be a name. Yahweh is my God. that's going to define Elijah. And it's a name that he's going to be able to stand in great confidence. And any time that he's in trouble, he's going to be able to look at his name and say that Yahweh is my God. And in verse 1, it talks about King Ahab. And so right off the bat, Elijah's assignment is to talk to King Ahab about his evil ways and for his years of Baal worship. King Ahab was one of the northern kingdom kings. And if you know anything about Ahab, he was the Bible talks about in chapter 16 how he was one of the most evil kings, married to Jezebel. And Jezebel is just basically a Satan worshiper. And so he's married to Jezebel. And so here, Elijah's first assignment is to talk to one of the most evil, wicked kings in all of Israel history. And so Elijah says, I want you to go tell Ahab that there's going to be a drought in the land. And there's something significant about that. It's not just necessarily that God is trying to punish the Israelites for turning to false gods and to worshiping of Baal. It's more than just that. This is a direct challenge to their false god of Baal. Because Baal was a god of fertility and the god of weather. And so basically when God says to Elijah, I want you to tell Ahab there's going to be a drought in the land, this is a direct opposition, direct confrontation to the false god of Baal. And so this is the first move of the famous showdown that you're going to see eventually, where Elijah takes on all the prophets of Baal, and so this is the beginning. And so now he says this incredible act of faith, you know, from God. God says to Elijah, I want you to go and confront the king and say these words. And he says, you know, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives before whom I stand, surely there will neither be dew nor rain these years except by my word. I mean, that's pretty powerful stuff. You know, saying to the king that it's not going to rain until I say it's going to rain, right? And so you have this incredible faith moment, and he proclaims it. And you can imagine, you know, whether Elijah was scared or full of confidence, this is a big deal. But the peculiar thing is the next thing that God asks him to do, okay, after this big showdown, I want you to go into hiding. Like, it's like, come on, man. It's like, you know, you should, you know, put your chest out, you know, keep your head high and show this sort of air of confidence. But God doesn't do that. He says, I want you to go hide. You know, it's like, whoa, okay. And so he goes into hiding. But this is, God doesn't send Elijah because, you know, in order to be, because he's scared or just for his protection. But he sends him into hiding because now begins the journey of stretching Elijah's faith and being able to put his confidence in his name that Yahweh is my God. It's kind of like, you know, those Star Wars movies, you know, where Luke Skywalker, you know, goes into the cave and he meets Yoda and it's time for training, or maybe the Karate Kid, you know, he gets beat up and then he has to go meet Mr. Miyagi or the new one, Jackie Chan or whatever, and go into hiding and get training and things like this. And so here's a similar thing that's happening. Elijah is sent into hiding not because of protection or because he's scared, because now begins the journey of faith, of molding his faith. And the first thing that happens is that he asks him to go to the brook Cherith, to Cherith Brook. And he says there, in the midst of this famine, in the midst of this drought, I'm going to provide water for you. And then he says that I'm going to send ravens to come feed you. Now that's an interesting choice by God, that he's going to use ravens to feed Elijah, because ravens in this culture were considered unclean birds. These were unclean birds. And so God is choosing unclean birds to provide food when there was no food in the midst of this drought and this famine. And it's peculiar because I think throughout scriptures, God likes to do that. God likes to take unexpected things, things that people consider unclean, and he uses them for his kingdom, and he uses them for his glory. And so here he is, and he's eating, and he's providing. And then the ravens in verse 6 brought him bread and meat in the morning, bread and meat in the evening, and he would drink from the brook. But then look at verse 7. It happened after a while that the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. Now, if you put yourself in Elijah's position, you hear the word of the Lord. Go to this place and I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to provide ravens to give you bread. I'm going to provide water for you to drink. And you're like, okay, I go in faith and you go there and you reap the blessings that and the provision that God has. And then right before your eyes, this brook begins to dry up. The blessing that God has for you begins to dry up. I mean, I don't know about you, but if I was in his position, I'd be getting a little bit nervous here. And so here you've got to see God is beginning to forge Elijah's faith. How many times have we moved in faith and as they were in that place, we get to that place and all of a sudden we're confused because we thought that God was going to continue this blessing, but this blessing is beginning to dry up. And now we're shaken in our faith because we were so confused and we thought we heard right from the Lord, but here we are right in front of our eyes. The exact blessing that God had promised us is now drying up. Elijah's going through that. And there's a reason why I think God takes him to the place. And so it starts drying up. And then verse 9, it says, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." And you know this story very well, right? We talked about it a few weeks ago on Sunday, how this widow had nothing. And Elijah comes and he's hungry, he's thirsty, and he finds this widow who has absolutely nothing, in fact asking, you know, "Lord, help me here." And the first thing he says is that, "I'm going to take the little that you have and I want you to offer it to me." But I want to take this story not from the perspective of the widow, but from the perspective of Elijah and what God is doing through Elijah. And so in verse 8, he says, "The word of the Lord came to him." The word of the Lord. God is saying, "I'm going to take care of you again. I took care of you with the ravens. I took care of you with the brook, but I want you to go to this widow." And so Elijah goes. He takes this long journey. And, you know, this woman is poor, suffered the loss of her husband. And for whatever reason, this woman puts her trust in the Lord and begins to give to Elijah. Food. And you know the story, the oil overflows and they have enough oil and food and things like this and all is well. And so remember the journey. God gives Elijah incredible confidence to confront Ahab and then he goes into hiding. God provides bread and water through a brook and this brook shrivels up. Go to this widow whom has absolutely nothing and I will still provide. The jars of oil overflows and they have enough food to eat. And then what you didn't learn in the previous Sundays is what happens right after. What happens right after to this widow's son. And if you look in verse 17, "Now it came about after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became sick, and his sickness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, 'What do I have to do with you, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my iniquity to remembrance and to put my son to death.' He said to her, 'Give me your son.' Then he took him from her bosom and carried him up to the upper room where he was living and laid him on his own bed. He called to the Lord and said, 'O Lord, my God,'" remember Yahweh is my God, "'have you also brought calamity to the widow with whom I am staying by causing her son to die?' Then he stretched himself upon the child three times and called to the Lord and said, 'O Lord, my God, I pray you, let this child's life return to him.' The Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child returned to him, and he revived. Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, 'See, your son is alive.' Then the woman said to Elijah, 'Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth.'" And so here you have Elijah on this incredible high. God provided oil that overflows, food that is plenty enough. And then to that same widow, her son dies. And so you would imagine if you are full of faith and have all of these things, blessings that happen to your life, that everything would go in an upward trajectory. But for the man of God, for Elijah, the very next thing that happens is this woman accuses him of killing, pretty much saying, "Look, why did you come here so that my son would die? It would have been better if you didn't come at all." You know, and so, you know, now Elijah's at another point of crisis. Do I just say, oh, man, I'm sorry? Or does he put his faith in God? Yahweh is my God. And so here is an incredible scene, the first sort of resurrection in Scripture. Elijah takes himself and he puts himself on the body. Now, if you're reading Scripture, you might think, okay, everything's going to happen just instantly. But the peculiar thing in verse 21 is that he had to do this three times. He had to do this three times. See, because I don't know about you, but if I imagine, you know, this dead child and I'm panicking and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I got to do something. What do I do? The last thing I'm thinking is, okay, I'm going to put my body on this child, you know. But Elijah says, okay, I feel like I'm supposed to put my body on this child and pray for this child and pray for resurrection. And so he puts his body on it and you know, I don't know what his prayer is or I don't know what he does. And then he gets up. Nothing. Nothing happens. At that moment, it could be like, you know what, I tried, sorry, you know, too bad. I mean, I apologize, you know, I did everything I could, you know, everything I could think of. But Elijah didn't put his faith in his circumstances. He said, Yahweh is my God. And so he does it a second time, and he prays, and he gets up. Nothing happens. You know, after two times of failure, I would probably be the most discouraged here. Elijah says, Yahweh is my God. He goes a third time, puts his body on the child, prays for him. And at that moment, the child rises up and lives. And what I love about this chapter is that you see Elijah putting his faith in God despite the circumstances, despite the good and the bad, despite the highs and the lows. Because it's easy to lose track of God when things are going wrong. Because most of us, maybe it's just me, but when I see answered prayer, I feel like, wow, this is it. This is done. I'm done. But the journey continues. And sometimes the journey isn't always in upward momentum. Sometimes there are circumstances in your life that that falls into tragic calamity and difficulties. Because it's so easy to lose God in the highs. And it's so easy to lose God in the lows. But God is giving us an opportunity to choose him regardless of the highs or the lows. It's not that God is only in the highs and only in the lows or only in the middle, but God is found everywhere. And so what holds Elijah up is this fact, this idea that Yahweh is my God. There are certain songs, and I was talking to one of the pastoral staff. There are certain songs that really move me, and I remember the first time that I heard the Tim Hughes song, Here I Am to Worship, Here I Am to Bow Down. I remember I was in San Diego, I heard it for the first time at this conference, and they started off with a verse, you know, and then they finally got to the chorus, and I thought, you know, this is an okay song. But when they finally got to the verse, and the entire congregation was lifting their hands, remember, this is the first time I've ever heard it, and they're singing, here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, I'm totally fine, no problem. Here I am to say that you're my God. And that line, that phrase, here I am to say that you're my God, and I can't explain it, but that's when I began to break down. And it's one of those, you know, oh, you're my God, you know, kind of moments, you know. And I can't explain it until going over this chapter that I realize that there's something in my spirit that's always been about Yahweh, you are my God. And because you are my God, you can do all things. A few weeks ago, when I had to speak, I believe it was Daily Bread and Pastor Nate, you know, sang the song God is Able. I can't explain it, but, you know, I was just really broken by that, because I think it's the declaration that God is able, you know, and it's that declaration that God is able, and it's that same way, at least in my life and in my heart, that declaration that Yahweh is my God. And here you have Elijah, whose name and whose life is all about the understanding that Yahweh is my God. And if he is my God, then it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. It doesn't matter what the pain is. It doesn't matter that the blessings that he gives you. And here's the point of all of this, is that throughout the scriptures, God has always wanted us to focus on him and not his blessings and not the circumstances. That even when he provided in the brook, that Elijah should not be satisfied with the brook itself, with what the provision is. Even when the provision was being taken away or dried up, that God is still God. That Yahweh is still God. Because I think so many of us, we put our faith in the blessing, put our faith in the actual provision. But even those can fade away. But God will still remain. And if you were to look at your own life and your own journey right now, how easy is it for us to put our faith in God when we have the provision? But what if that provision that God has actually given you is drying up? You can talk about your finances, as we've been talking about the past couple of weeks. God has given us that as a blessing through our jobs and through our work. But what if those things are drying up? Are we going to put our faith in our finances? Or are we going to be able to say, Yahweh is my God? To not turn our eyes towards the finances or the money or the blessings, to not put our eyes towards the promises and the blessings, but it's to put our eyes upon the Lord. Because he is my God. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Do not lose sight of who God is in the highs or the lows. Because Yahweh is my God, God is always with you. Let's bow our heads and let's pray and meditate upon Elijah in this chapter. Elijah, one of the most incredible men of faith in all of Scripture. And you see what he had to go through. For in the end, he's going to face this incredible showdown against the prophets of Baal, where he asks God to send fire down from heaven. This journey for Elijah doesn't happen overnight. It happens through the ups and downs. It happens through difficulties. It happens through droughts. It happens because Elijah is able to say, no matter what, Yahweh is my God. As we move into a time of prayer, and have a time of worship, I want you to just meditate on that name, Elijah. Yahweh is my God. Can you claim that today? Can you say that today for your own life? Yahweh is my God. Not only some of the time, not only during times of desperation, but in all times, in all things, in all circumstances, Yahweh is my God. Let's sing the song together.
Draw me close to you. To you, your love. to you. Draw me close to you. You never let me go. Lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. Nothing else could take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace, help me find a way. Bring me back to you.
There may be some of us that need to just say that to the Lord, Yahweh, you are my God. No matter what I'm going through now, all I need to know is that you are my God. Things have been drying up. Things are, the water is not there anymore. Yahweh, you are my God. So before we move into corporate intercession, I just want you to take a moment just to lay your circumstances before God and just say, Yahweh, you are my God. There are many in our community that need to know that Yahweh is God. And so let's pray for those who are sick in the midst of their illness, that we would pray, God, would you be God to them? And their names are on the screen. So let's lift them up in prayer and ask God for healing and his power over their lives. So let's pray for them right now. Let's lift up those who we've continued to pray, and let's ask God for faith to arise in them and in our community. And let's pray for those who need salvation and for other illnesses. And so let's lift them up in prayer right now. Let's begin to lift up those who are looking for work and ask God to open doors. And in the midst of this difficult time, let's ask them to say that Yahweh is my God. And let's lift them up in prayer right now. Let's move into our mission focus this morning, and let's lift up China and especially the SP Beijing, Pastor Sam and his family, the Chong family, Matt and Nate's parents, the Basrabas, for Leanne, for Edie, for the Chichihar kids, for the government and the churches there. And let's also lift up mission trips, Xijiang leaving this Sunday, and also Hunan in August. And so let's lift up China and our missionaries there right now. Let's begin to pray for our SP staff, for the elder board, and for the missions committee, that God would use them in a powerful way and give wisdom to decisions that may need to be made. And so let's lift them up right now. Let's pray for Phoebe Ministry and Pastor Salamat, and that also includes maybe Igape Ministry. Let's ask the Lord to really bless them and to use them in Hong Kong. And let's pray for a Korean church. Let's ask God to really use them for the Korean community. And so let's lift up Phoebe Ministry and Hong Kong Korean Church.
Thank you, Jesus, for Phoebe and Pastor Salamat, Lord. Let's just ask God for blessing over him and his family, Samuel and for Cardia, Lord. And Father, for Mimi, Lord, we just pray, God, for all. all the leaders of Phoebe Ministry, God, and all those who serve Phoebe, Lord. We ask, God, that for more salvations, God, Father, for bondages to be broken, Lord God. And Father, we pray for discipleship, God, to grow, Lord, and that they would be able to go back home and lead churches, Lord, and lead congregations, and lead their families to salvation, Lord. And we pray for the church, Lord Jesus. We ask, God, that you use them in the midst of turmoil and struggle, Lord God, that they would be able to bless the community here in Hong Kong, Lord. God, we just ask, Father, for your anointing, God, Father, for them, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Let's pray for our house churches that are meeting today, for Lan Kwai Fong, Bonham, Old Peak, Harborside, Seymour, and Star Street. Let's pray for the communities there, that they would experience what Acts 2 Church is like. And let's ask the Lord to really bless the fellowships today. So let's pray for our house churches.
Lord, we thank you for OKF as they multiply. Lord, we just ask, God, that they would understand, God, that there's a greater purpose, Lord, and that their fellowship would be even greater, God, as they multiply, Lord. God, that they would not be restricted by their previous relationships, but they would grow, Lord, even bigger, Lord. We pray for Bonham, Lord. We pray for Old Peak, Lord. Harborside, Seymour, Lord, our group, Lord. We just pray that our group would grow, Lord. Lord, we pray for Star Street, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just ask, Father, so, Lord, for communities that happen, God, Lord, your love is reached, Lord, and people who are in need, God, begin to receive what they need, Lord God. We pray, Father, just for a powerful community, God, that changes lives and transforms lives, God, that people would, that they would be one as you are one, God, that people would see, God, that the love that they have for one another, God, that they would know that you're disciples, Lord.
Father, we thank you that we can say that you are our God, and that you provide, and that you are always with us. And God, we just want to lift up just our prayers and petition. God, we want to honor you and worship you this beginning of this day. I pray that the rest of this day would be filled with strength and grace and mercy and eyes of faith and courage. And Lord, we just want you to be blessed and honored today. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a wonderful day. God bless you. Encourage you to stay and continue to pray before you go to work. And may you enjoy the presence of the Lord.